Okay, welcome to the last shiur in a series of shiurim for the Shana Bat. We unfortunately have to say goodbye to one of our esteemed Shana Aleph, now Shana Bat students. Who's going all the way down under to Australia. So this is dedicated in your honor because it's something that you will be dealing with now on a consistent basis, especially in Australia. But the reason why I'm giving this shiur specifically this Super Sunday is because of the Super Bowl. Yeah, something going on in the So the shiloh that was asked to me by an esteemed member of the community was anybody who came in over Shabbos to the yeshiva saw that we had what seems like unbelievable festivities commemorating the Super Bowl, and we're showing it. So he said to me, is this appropriate for yeshiva to be showing the Super Bowl? And he threw out a word that was the wrong word to throw out to me. And there was, isn't it chukas ha'akum to watch the Super Bowl? I said, what are you talking about? Where do you get these crazy things from? Now I asked him to look at, if you really looked at the schedule, you saw that Baruch Hashem were having two wonderful, one more wonderful than the other, but two wonderful shiurim that are taking place, two extra hours of learning at 11:30 and 12:30, ending at 1:30 at night. That's amazing. So we'll discuss what I think about that. But let's discuss because I can see if this guy has anything to stand on, b'chlal, saying what he's saying. Now, we do recognize that the parshas that we're in, assuming that we're still in Shovavim, this could be the last week of Shovavim. So if it's the last week of Shovavim, so of course we know one of the things that we do concentrate on is what's Kedoshim to you, is the differences between us and the other nations. And certainly when we talk about the Avodah of the Mishkan, so on one hand, the Mishkan we know is a Mechaper for really Chukas Akum in a way. It was Mechaper for an eagle that was made, which was certainly imitated the ways of the non-Jewish nations. So there certainly are things that we can do to channel what would seem to be Gentile ways. And we know that the Gentiles do a lot of different things that seemingly is not at all related to religion. So where do we stop here? So that's what we're going to discuss today. So of course we know that we are told, of course, B'chukasem lo se'lechu, the famous pasuk in Sefer Vayikra Yudches. So we know this already. K'maisa Eretz Mitzrayim, when they were in Eretz Mitzrayim, Yoshua, the same, don't do what they used to do. Okay, don't do like other nations. This is an edict, this we know is an isser. We have to understand what that isser is exactly. So the first thing that's said is, so how do we treat this? So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us that in the days of old, when a Jewish king would die, they would burn his clothes out of respect. Says the Gemara, Sorfin al Malachim. This was an edict that was called Sorfin. You would have to burn everything. V'lo medachi amori. And right? And this is not because of Chukas Akam. Why? Because don't we know? Because saying lo say lechu ella the kule alma sreif alav chukasi ella chashivasi. It's chashiv. What does that mean? It's chashiv. It's chashiv. It's okay. So chashiv means, anybody understand? What do you think this means? It's chashiv. So it's chashiv because it's allowed because there's a reason for it. It makes sense, right? You have somebody who were so chashiv. What happens today? I'm sure you've seen this. There's apparently a website called eBay, right? And on eBay, people sell the most wacko things, like kidneys and things like that. But besides for kidneys, people all of a sudden find somebody threw in the garbage. I found, Elvis Presley's, blah, blah, blah. I found this. Oh, I found Lady Di's dress. They sell all these things. It's crazy. So it would make sense, according to our logic, that when a king dies, we don't want everything to go on eBay. Right, he had covered for the king, so we burn anything. This reminds me of a very strange story that happened to me. My first job when I worked in the Ministry of Defense of Israel, and I think about it, 2 years into it, they changed new directors of the mission. This was the most important person in our mission in New York, 300 Israelis, and this gentleman, and they had a new minister of, director of the mission. So the minister at that time of the Minister of Defense of Israel was Yitzhak Mordechai. Yitzhak Mordechai was a very, very committed Jew and was makbid on a number of different interesting things. One thing was he was Sephardi, so he was very makbid that any of the homes of his subordinates that he met, they had to have mezuzahs. and you knew that if he was coming to visit you, you'd never flip out. So I get called in by this is the most important, you never met this guy in the world. I go into this huge office, and he says to me, Daniel, shamatu shata rab shel mashon shelanu. You're the rabbi, the chief rabbi of the, right? Even then, I didn't have smicha then. Okay, that's when my name got out that I was a. So he says to me, I need you to change all my mezuzahs. So I said, well, what's going on? He says, you got to tell me where I need mezuzahs, where I don't need mezuzahs. Great. He said, oh, this is a great job. He says, I don't care how long it takes you, this is your new job. This is awesome. He goes, and no, you don't take a bus, you don't take anything, take money, take cabs to my house. I'm like, this is awesome, fine. So we get there, and fine. So we get there. I get there by myself, and a very interesting thing. So he's missing a lot of mezuzahs, and he wanted me to put in Seamus all the old mezuzahs. It was quite interesting. So, okay, so I'm in the process of mezuzahs, and I see that there's a moving company, and they're taking out these huge TVs and the couches and whatever. And I said, what's going on? I asked this young lady, the wife of his. I said, what's going on? And they said, oh, one of the things when you become he's called, the director of the mission, so because we have to move to New York for 4 years, and nobody wants to do that from Israel, obviously, so you get to take all new stuff. So I said, what are they doing with this stuff? They said, Sorfan and Relachim. They burn everything. They take it and they have to because they're afraid that anything might have papers and whatever, so they burn everything. So I'm watching these Italian guys take out all the stuff, and they're like, yeah, don't worry about it, we'll take care of it. They're probably reselling it to somebody. They're taking the computers out, and it was very interesting. This wasn't because they were chashev, it was because they were afraid of security or whatever. It was very interesting.
It was in New York, in Israel.
It was in New York, yeah. So, fine. Anyway, I got called back into the office after I did my whole job. Instead of saying thank you to me, he said to me, one of the mezuzahs you put up, I don't understand why you put it up there. It was a suffix. It was I called him on a rabbanim. It was like a very large closet, so I put it in. So I said, he was very unhappy. He thought he never heard it on a closet. It was this huge walk-in closet. Okay, fine. He was upset with me. So that's the first Gemara. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says also why you're allowed to behead a individual if that's the way they used to do it in the times of the Gemara in non-Jewish nations. Gemara in Sanhedrin, Rabbeinu, Keva de Mechsiv, Sif Be'araisa, Sayif Be'araisa, Lominu, Kai Gamrinan, Ela Kesiv. So even though it says when it comes to Sreifa, Skila, Skadik, all these different things, isn't it a violation of Chusim Losi Lecha? Right? So says the Gemara, maybe this again should be Aser. Why? Hachinami Kevin Dechsiv, that when it comes to beheading, Spiyof Be'araisa, Lo Minu Kai Gamrinan. This is something that we are told already, that this is something that was done. So aren't we allowed to follow the ways? Again, it's a different a little bit from it makes sense, and that's why it's chashev. It was done already. We started doing it before they did it, you know, this whole thing. Who started this? Who started that? The Ram defines chuchasim here in source number 4 in the Gemara and Avodah Zarah the following. L'fi shelo asru Torah el chuka shel avod kochavim Elu dvarim shel hevel ubatala, v'kulan yesh behem tzorech avod kochavim. Something of hevel ubatala. It makes no sense, right? Oh, the goyim, they like to wear black and white shoelaces. Why? Stop. They just do that. Oh, I want to be like that. So I start doing that. We'll talk about clothes in a moment. So that's hevel ubatala. Right? That's the tzorech avod kochavim. They're just doing it because you want to be like Mike. You want to be like them. That's also al devarim shel tam, things that make sense, like surf and amalachim. It's okay. They came up with the first. I admit. So what? It makes sense. If you can come up with something that makes sense, so that would be fine. A practical example would be the famous Shelus Truz Maharik. The Maharik asked the question about doctors. In his day, doctors were asked that when they come into the hospital, they should start wearing a white cape. Similar today to the white jacket that doctors used to wear. Now they start wearing it, at least in the hospitals I've been at. So I used to joke that when I used to be in, I used to have this chus of doing Bikur Cholim in one of the local hospitals in Teaneck, in Holy Name. So I'd be wearing whatever, it was a weird thing, because I did Bikur Cholim for the Bikur Cholim Society, and apparently I was the only man that did it, I guess, because I worked right near the hospital. So was very funny. So I did it, and whenever I'd walk on a certain floor, so there was a reverend, he would always pass me, and he would always assume, because of the way I was dressed, and I was wearing a yarmulke, he would say, "Doctor, nice to see you." Always. And I never had the heart to tell him, just doing bikkur cholim. Except one time, unfortunately, a patient was coding out, and he said, "Doctor, doctor." No, I'm kidding. No.
But,
Dr. Hotsky, we need you, we need you. Yeah, no. So I always thought that was funny. But so in those days, they wanted to distinguish who was who. So doctors used to wear a special thing. So he says, "Well, would that be mutter?" We didn't think of it. So what do you think, guys? Based on what we said, would it be mutter or us? Fine. Why? Can't you say fine? That Shana Aleph has to say it's fine. Fine and why?
It's not a thing that going to do. It's just a thing that doctors do.
That makes sense. Chashivas like. I want to tell Chashivas to the doctor to show that he's the doctor and this guy is not a doctor. That makes sense. Says the Sheol Shut. What?
It's practical.
Yeah. Lanias daiti near a dover parshut. To lola aser mishum chok. Ella mishechalakam echarhu. Hadover asher ein tamo. Nigle. Doesn't make any sense. So that's a chok. But here, he says, the kevon shehu asur dover mishune. Asher ein bo tam. It makes no sense what he's doing. It's mishune, it's different. But if there's a reason for it, why should there be usher? And a dover asher shayach bo nod pritza. Very interesting idea. If it's being done, even if it makes sense, but al shum pritzos, right? It's I don't know, I don't want to say, or we'll see in a moment. It's a red dress. It's something that is being invented to show pritzos. This could be for men as well. That's aser. That's the two things that the Ma'arik says. And therefore he says, here there's none of those reasons. It's chashuv, it makes sense. They want to distinguish who's who. Even more than that, for pekuach nefesh reasons, it's important. And furthermore, he says, it's no pretzels in it. It makes a lot of sense. So comes along the Sheol Shechus B'nei Banim of Henkin, and he says as follows. He quotes in the name of the Chazon Ish the following thing. Kosev li oisa harav shenimsa, he says that according to the name of the Chazon Ish, Kosev, Omnam roi liyira Hashem disparach noita belavusham uvishar enoyim laderech hayotis snua kimina chaverim val iser bechukasim lo say lecha eino ella bimisave. He desires le hidomut lahem. If I'm doing it because I want to be like them, I want to be like Mike. Abolo beohev et hayofi. Very interesting. Imitation is the best form of flattery, but if it's being done because I want to be like them, I want to dress like them, I want people to actually look at me and not know the difference between me and other nations. So, you're Jewish? How would I know you're Jewish? That's Aser, says the Chazon Ish.
But if it's say other things. For example, yeah. Okay, so a Haredi would look at me and say the fact that I'm wearing a polo means that I'm high of this, right? It's not Jewish dress, right? It's
yeah, but you can answer with the Chazon Ish. Aval, lo ba'oyev, if I'm doing it ba'oyev ayofi, I like this. This makes sense to me.
I do. I'd rather wear this than a
so even the Chazon Ish says this mutter. Maybe.
No.
The Chazon Ish says, if you're doing it because you desire to be like them, and you're not doing it just because you like the style of dress, then it's aser. I, the first person that invented a suit, I'm not sure it was Yankel, whatever, right? We know this already about, by the way, about the Hasidic dress. Obviously, it was not something that the Hasidim invented. Okay, yeah. This was noble wear of whatever, the 1600s, right? So, it makes sense. It looks, I don't know what, but it looks mechubat. Okay, there's no question about it. Person, you look at it. Last night we were at a simcha for Chef Chaim, and the Chaim speaking, and all of a sudden this Hasidic guy walks in, and everybody stands up. And my wife gets really mad at me, and she says, "Why don't you stand up, cover the rap?" I'm like, because he has a stripe, we have to assume that he's a rav. I was wrong, he was a rav. Turned out he was a rav. So I was wrong, I should have stood up for him. But, that doesn't...
Were left guys invited?
Because, what? No. So comes along the B'nai Banim, and he says, the Chazon Ish says, makes sense. Because of the fact that B'chosem lo se lechu is being doimah to him, for no reason. So as I said, the guy that invented the suit makes sense. For some reason, we know, even some people, I believe this, on Erev Shabbos, when I put on this, I feel special. I don't know, I feel different. I feel, whatever I wear during the rest of the week, it's mechubad, it's nice, different. I feel different, I feel special. Comes along the Ramah, very interesting Ramah here in source number 7, and he says as follows. Ye muvdo bahem b'mevusham b'shar masav should be different. V'chein ze eino aser ela b'davar shenagubo avoid kachavim l'shem pritzas. The definition is to follow the ways of the nations because of pritzas reasons. We have to understand what does that mean. Kigon, I'll give you an example. Shenagul v'vushmul v'shem adumim. You want to wear red clothing because that is alluring. It might not be the case anymore, but there certainly was a time where colors were not so popular. If you go here in Ramat Beit Shemesh, you see the national color of our city is black, and maybe white a little bit, but not for women certainly. But for women, it's black and maybe dark black, and ooh, look at her, great. Why? Because it's news. That's what he says. V'mivush sarin kadom elazeh mivushay hapritzas. So he says that the great ministers would wear, it would be based on principle. Again, we're talking about men now. Odavar shenagu leminhag, or they're doing it for a custom lechok, they ain't tam b'davar. It doesn't make any sense. Te'ikum michush ba, mishum darchi amori. V'sheyesh bo shemetz. It has a smell, a little bit, a shmek of a voice chachavim, mi aboseyim. They don't even know why they're doing it anymore. Right? The guy said, I'll be honest with you, honestly, I don't even know. They don't know. Most guys, they know it has anything to do with the pagan. We still can't do it because the shmek of Avodah Zarah, Aval Davar Shenagu. But it's something else that was done. L'tolat kegon shedarchem shekol mi shehu rofe mumche. He's calling the Ma'arik, of course. Yesh mevush miyuchad. That makes sense to show that he's a rofe uman muter. Right, nowadays it's very scary. A guy could just walk on this. People do this all the time today. He wants to get something special, because he starts screaming at me, and I say, you understand, if you don't let me return this, I'm a lawyer. I don't know if he's a lawyer, he's not a lawyer, I'm a doctor, I don't know. So, mutter levosha v'chein, she'oisin mishum kovod otam acher mutter. It's mutter. And that's why, so for namlocha, because it makes sense, says the Ran. So he's really quoting this Ma'arik and the Ran, and again, I think for us, it makes sense. I wanted to point out, we were just talking about the Hasidim before, so if it's true that they're just, quote-unquote, stealing dress that used to be worn by nobles who are not Jewish, why is it mutter? Mincha Chinuch says something very interesting. I don't know if many people have seen this Mincha Chinuch. Very interesting. Simon Reish Nun Aleph in the Mincha Chinuch. In Mitzvah, sorry, Reish Nun Aleph. V'nirali Pashat. D'mutul Yisrael Leilech V'l'Mashem HaKadmonim Asher Akum Ozva'ata. Old dress that they no longer wear. They want to show differences, so they start wearing, 1970 clothes. Maybe 1970 clothes is now in again, whatever. So that would be mutter. To wear old clothes, that would be mutter. That's right. So maybe that's the reason, right? That's never going to come back into fashion. Although, a number of years ago, there was a designer who started making Hasidic clothes for women to wear with it. It was a very inappropriate. People with cried anti-Semitism because the women were walking down the aisle, whatever that's called, the runway. And then they were also wearing a hat that had payas coming from it. It was clearly something a little strange. But some of their not says that, says right? And therefore, that would be mutter, because you're being moved off. Yeah, it's true. Nobody wears black hats anymore. None of the not used to be in the 60s. Everybody wore a black hat. But it's different. So it also wouldn't be. Fine. Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked a very important question. He was asked the question of, why are you allowed to wear clothes of today? Right, we were all around the table, we're all wearing clothes that was not made by Yankel Shmenkel, and it was made by some non-Jewish designer, and maybe even of rumors who don't love Jews, whatever, maybe yes, maybe no. But the fact is that why are we allowed to wear, right? A sweatshirt, a polo shirt, a t-shirt, whatever. So Rav Moshe says, V'gam bilaz, ein shaykh yitzir mushul nochrim, right? He says, it's not also why, t'hai kimad kol b'nei Yisrael, lo shim mevushim elu. Even if you're going to tie it to me, okay, I'm wearing a white shirt because I'm really from. Well, who made that white shirt? Let me ask you something. Why buttons? Well, what's the story with buttons? Why is a button like this on this side? So I don't know if you know this, right? Buttons on the right side are for men, left side is for women. Chassidim dafka do it the other way because they want to show that they're different. So we, right. So if you ever get a shirt that has buttons on the left side, I believe, unless I'm wrong, so it's a, what do you call it? Yeah, it's a women's shirt. That this shows the differences.
Strange nuances that you never know.
Right, but why? But meaning what? Well, so why do we do that? Why? Why do I button my shirt? Why do I?
As opposed to what? Zipping it up?
No, I don't know. Because what are you going to say to me? Because it makes sense.
Yeah.
Somebody came up with it and it makes sense. It's practical. So that's what Rav Moshe says. Okay.
You reject all the logic.
Mavusha madu alone ne'amar, right? Shemitchila hey mavusha shah. To lo nekva klal mechabasa. No, they didn't start making shirts and say, this is l'shem yuchat kitzu b'richu, this is only for the Pope, and people who follow Christianity. No, what happened? Anybody. Muda. Ve'achakach gam Yisra'am. You're allowed to. It's true, l'chein apsha agrab b'iro, in the bra is he argues on the Raman, the Ma'arik, the Sover, the Chol Malvusham Yuchel Anochem is Aser. Right? He's generally very machmer. He's the one who says you shouldn't decorate the shuls on Shavuos because that was a non-Jewish custom during, maybe, I assume during Christmas time. It was inappropriate because they used to decorate their shuls with trees. They're very into the trees and stuff like that. This is the question of bringing organs into shul, even if you're doing it during times that's mutter, because that's what the non-Jewish people do.
The musical instrument. Yeah. I thought you meant like heart, liver, lungs.
No. Organs, no.
Organs into shul.
We have been accused of that as well. Yeah. So says Rav Moshe, thinks it would be mutter. Now, if you can come up with a company that was miyuchan and said, if I would have known that Jewish people and African Americans would be wearing my clothes, I would never have made it. So those rumors happen not to be true. They said this about Tommy Hilfiger. It's not true. I saw his interview on Oprah just for research for this. He strongly denied it's not true. It was one of those things that you could put out on the internet when the internet first started. This was like a big thing. He never said that. No, he's not. Fubu. Fubu is, but somebody told me that Fubu, even though it's owned by the guy who does the Shark Tank, somebody had told me originally that it was, there are Jews that were part owners of it as well. So you can't say Fubu literally means for you buy, right? Right? But they don't care who they sell to. They want to sell. I don't understand. Who cares? So that would be Mutter. Rav Moshe says that. Another question that Rav Moshe was asked, of course, we did discuss at one point, we did Shemos, was Eli Shemos B'nai Yisrael, was about having non-Jewish names. That was the case that we gave, so we do that quickly because we did it already. But says Rav Moshe that have non-Jewish names is not Aser. You're going to tell me having the name, right? I told my famous Michal Yordano story, right? So there, he says, She'avshu davar meguna ein Aser. It's not nice to have these types of names. Medino, Medinas, Nasim, Mamish, Hazman, Legalot, Arachem, right? Tachlis, it would be mutter to do. It would be mutter to have a name that's not.
What about very
intrinsically
very
a Jewish
connected
name? What?
What about a name where it's very connected, like a Jewish guy called Chris or
right? So he doesn't write that, but I think that would be partial also. I know a certain Rav in a certain community who the night before, very interesting, he would call the night before the bris everybody that he was going to the bris the next morning, any of his congregants, and say, "What's the name of the baby?" Well, you know, we don't want to tell you. They're like, "Well, I want to know." So they might say Yaakov Yitzchak. Okay, what's his real name going to be? And if you ever said something like a Matthew or a Luke or whatever, he would say, "You have to change the name." So, what do you mean, Rabbi? He says, "Yeah, it's not a Jewish name. The boy has to have a name that's even the English name, because that's what you can go by." So, okay, that's something very interesting.
Wait, isn't Matthew like anglicized? Well, not really. It's like Matisyahu or like Messiah. Like,
yeah, so you can. There's ways of getting around it. I know people's name is Matthew as well, but. In any case,
I have no idea what Luke is. How do you get from Hebrew to Luke?
Anyway, in any case, we see that Chukasem Lo Seilechu says Rav Moshe wouldn't necessarily apply to these names, even though it's a Davar Maguna. The Gemara tells us in Gittin about Ayuv Avoy. They had to write Gittins that were in the language of that had names of non-Jewish people because people were taking non-Jewish names. It's true. Says Rav Moshe something else. What happens if you have a name? Right, you want to name after your grandfather. My grandfather's name was Alexander. So what's wrong with Alexander? Alexander's such a goyish name.
Yeah, but it was a thing.
Right, it was a thing, and this person you're naming after was a Jewish person. Rabbi Shmuel. Shmuel is not, you know, you want to call it not a Jewish name. Or he says, all the Rapapas. Papa's not a, right? Hey, how about the Rambam? The Rambam's father's name, Maimon. Maimon ain't no Jewish name. Right, my father's name is Clonimus. Columbus also, but you're being named for somebody that's fine. This is a question also that's asked. What about naming after a father that was a Russia, Rahman al-Islam, right? So he says, my father's a Russia, but we had a baby. Yet. Why don't I name it after my father? Sachakol, he was a Russia, but he's my father. So he says like this. He says that when you name the baby, think of Yaakov Avinu, right? That he should have the shefa of because we believe in this. We believe that names are very, the Hasidim take this even more, but even Rav Semser of Rosh is a beautiful piece in Shemos, and he says the names are a shefa. You didn't get to choose your name. But there's something special. People tell me this all the time. My Hebrew name is Dov Menachem. So they say, wow, it's so fitting for my name. Because I'm a very, they say sometimes I could be a very angry person. But Menachem, I'm usually, but I calm people down also. So I have this double feature of myself. Maybe, I don't know if that's true. But you know other people, right? Lo kam b'Yisrael kam Moshe, right? Moshe Feinstein, right? Right, Moshe Feinstein, what a perfect name for him, right? This person's name was Mayor. Oh, Mayor, wow, he enlightened people. Makes sense. Names are all around. So getting to the crux of really what I wanted to discuss when we talk about Super Bowls and other things like that. Rav Moshe was asked, there's a number of different shuas. I don't have the time to go into the details, and also it's not Thanksgiving, so I don't need to go into the details. There are a lot to be discussed here, a lot of phantom shuas of Rav Moshe on this topic. But I quoted the one shuva here, one of the many, in Yeridei Chelek Dalet. Im Aser, is it Aser to celebrate Thanksgiving or not? You know what Thanksgiving is, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So he says, V'davra, Shuvim Meshe, Chashuvim Yom Ha'oidi. Thanksgiving. There's no chiv suda on this. We're happy that we have a United States to live in, right? I don't know if that's really also to say that you can't do it, you can't do thanks. Thanks is a Jewish thing. So maybe it would be mutter to do. Other tshuvas, they say Rav Moshe said that it's not really so, that maybe it is chulukazakim. If you look at, you go look at the history of Thanksgiving, so you will find that it is somewhat questionable. There's some very nice articles you could Google on this as well, and you will see that the history, originally when Abraham Lincoln wanted to invent the holiday, it was for Christian reasons. And later on, it became halacha lemaisa into a real national holiday, much later on. Kennedy wanted to do this, Theodore Roosevelt wanted to do it, and so it was a machlokes who actually instituted it. But the more they got later on, they forgot about the religious part of it, and that's probably what it is, that they have Hodah. It's quoted in Nefesh HaRav, that Rav Soloveitchik would stop shiur early on Thanksgiving to let people be able to go to the Sudas, a machlokes if he would go or not, if you know anything about the Rav. So Rav Shachter believes that there's no Masorah for turkey anyway, so you can't eat turkey, so you'd have to have something else at the Suda. Okay, whatever. That's another conversation.
Wait, but I thought he didn't believe in the Masorah argument.
He believes that there's no Masorah for... Oh, you're saying because of the Tchelis?
Yeah,
no, but here he said that we know about wild turkeys, which were Usar. So it's interesting, he does not eat turkey.
He doesn't eat turkey?
No, or milk, but that's another reason. Anyway, so let's go back to our question. Our central question was, what about a Super Bowl party? So that reminded me when this very nice community member told me this. So I was thinking of another story that happened to me many, many years ago as well. My son was going to a birthday party, and he was invited to a birthday party back in the day when we lived in, you know, this would never happen here in Ramat Beit Shemesh. It was a girl's birthday party. Yeah, he was all but like 4 years old. But okay, anyway, he goes there, and the guy comes over, he goes, psh, come over here, Archie, you love this. Psh,
chazer.
What do you don't notice? What don't you notice here? I don't know, what? There's no cake. So what do you mean there's no cake? Why? It's chukusein lo yisilecho. It's a goyisha cake. Who came up with a birthday cake? It's a goyisha sach. We bought a cupcake anyway. You know, the girl's hysterically crying, where's my cake? So I'm like, you're an idiot. What, I don't understand. Where do you get that from? From everything that we learned here, it makes sense, right? You have a birthday, so we make something miyuchad for you. So why would that be aser? I Pasha don't understand that, right? If it makes no sense, it's your birthday. Birthdays are actually discussed very well. The Svarim could discuss birthdays. It's something chashuv. You have to do an introspection on your birthday.
What's the origin of birthday?
What?
There's an ancient Egyptian custom.
Yeah.
That you sacrifice some kind of loaf to the gods.
I don't remember
in honor
that.
Of surviving another year.
Okay.
Depends what the origin of the bread.
No, but we know Yom HaLevisa because it says that.
Yeah, no one thinks back to ancient Egypt when they eat bread these days.
Yeah, okay. It also says that. Yeah, okay. But the fact is that there is an Indian of birthday. Birthday is something that is chashav. What to do on the birthday? But it doesn't say mention a cake. So same thing over here. Listen, you want to tell me, you want to tie it to me, but Hussein Lo Selecho, you shouldn't be watching the Super Bowl, B'chlal, because we're glorifying these people who are not mostly amazing citizens of the world in many cases, and they're certainly not what we like to call idols, and the pictures over that our children should have on their walls should not be of them but of great Rabbanim. I agree. Okay. I agree. But to tell me that there's an Isra B'chukasein Lo Selecho because you're watching the game, especially here in the yeshiva where commercials are banned. So what's, again, you have
Wait,
to be
you don't watch with the commercials?
No.
They turn it off?
They turn the commercials off. There will be a very chashav rav who will be in charge of that. It's always a very difficult, very difficult time in when the boys want it on. Okay, it doesn't matter. Many of the commercials are problematic, according to many, many poskim. So, except for the SodaStream commercial. That's the mutter. Everybody should watch it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's been a lot of controversy. Anyway, so I don't think. Listen, b'chukosei lo seilechu, I don't think would apply over here. I think it's something to always consider when we're trying to be like them. There could be a potential isser. If there's some sort of new dress, and we're dressing like that, and it makes no sense, and we're just doing it because it's cool. Again, a thing that comes up to be the number one thing I think of is when people wore these baggy pants. Right, I think Rav Tanel discussed where the minhag came from. And, you know, the minhag of wearing pants that don't fit you or pegs that go where it's low. It's because they wouldn't let in jail. They wouldn't let people have belts because they'd hang themselves. So this became a gang thing. This would be a cool. This would be a show. Oh, look, we want to be like. We don't care about. We're going to jail. And that's what you want to emulate. I think that's problem. That's very problematic, actually. So the question about certain types of haircuts as well. In my day, there used to be something called the step haircut. You just want to be like the guy, and it makes no sense. So there is what to discuss on other types of items. It's not something that doesn't apply anymore, b'chlal. But I do believe that it's something that we should think about, that, again, we have to be moved up. Listen, you know, it's the old joke of what's very unique about the Jewish people. There are a lot of things unique about the Jewish people. But one thing that's very unique is that we can be in any airport in the world. When we see another firm person, we give the nod. Hello. Welcome to the tribe. Like, we, you know, you're okay. You need a place to stay. Like,
isn't that great?
It's an amazing thing. So what happens? A guy's walking. Usually we can tell these people, right? Like me, and I'm going into the airport, and I'm wearing, I don't know what, and I'm wearing a hat. So usually we can tell you, I don't know why, we're usually still good at being able to tell the people apart. But you're not being moved, so you're not moved, right? Okay, maybe these are things for Chil Hashem and things of that nature, but we're supposed to show that we're different from other nations, and not completely. Utterly, we have tzitzis. We do have milbush that is different, but we should recognize that we are different, and we have a whole parsha here where we had vestments of a Kohen Gadol that were so unique and so different. In fact, the famous story that's told, the famous Gemara, Shammai and Hillel about being Megayer al Regal Achas. So that was a story about somebody who wanted to convert because he heard in the Beis Medrash them describing the vestments of the Kohen Gadol. Moved on, mamish different. Nobody ever dressed like this. Even us Jews couldn't dress like this. It was beautiful, amazing. So he wanted to be, he wanted to convert based on the fact that we were all moved out. That there was something different. Okay, it was a problem because he wanted to be the Kohen Gadol. It was a long story for another time. Anyway, we should be zeichet to take these very, very important lessons with us wherever we might be going, and understand that our whole task is to show b'chusim not to go the ways, go with our ways, go with the ways of the Jewish people where they're so beautiful. Hashem promised us that all of our ways are supposed to be special. We should zeichet to do that, and only good things and only besaris tovers from our nations.